Oh, fucking boy. It's come. The time has come. Is everybody ready? Do you all have your blankets?
Fucking ready.
Do you all have your blankets and your pills?
My blankets, my pills, my slippers.
Do you have everyone have their butt plugs?
Naturally.
It's in currently, yes.
Are you sure you don't need to borrow one?
I
keep some extras. Keep some exes, just in case you need one.
I've seen the collection, Britt.
You've seen the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I've seen the collection you let other people see.
Right. I have one that's shaped like an iceberg.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
I haven't seen the secret collection, that's true.
Yeah, you know. Someday if you're fortunate enough. Yeah.
Be the last thing I see.
That's the 500th episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
That's what we got planned. Very special. Hey, we got a guest today. Welcome.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, what's your name?
Luna Dahlia.
Nice. What do you do?
I host a monthly social club for Trekkies in Philadelphia.
Yeah, what's that called?
Bar Trek.
Bar Trek. Awesome. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. I know some folks who have been there.
Yeah. It's one of the few places that you can still get Soy Trek goodies since you so kindly donate.
Absolutely. Yeah. I donated a whole bunch of stuff there, and I will continue to do so as long as I still have stuff to donate. I've got plenty of stuff.
Yeah, there's a huge pile back there. So
there literally is.
I mean,
those boxes over there are just B stock, like stuff I messed up on and stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah, how much can you take back with you?
I'm literally packing an extra suitcase.
Oh, for real?
Back, yeah.
Oh yeah, awesome. Yeah. We need to check out and see if I got that extra suitcase for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, welcome Luna.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And today we're here to talk about. DS9 episode, Duet, season one. But before that, let's talk about our Patreon, everybody. You know we have a Patreon? It's at patreon.com/dumbidiotbs. You know what we got there? All types of stuff. You can vote on what episodes of Star Trek or movies we watch. You can fucking, I don't know, get access to my server, my media server, the Media Dungeon. Which is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
We've been watching lots of stuff on there lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get merch on there. You can get all of our episodes as soon as I'm done with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes all of our other podcasts, including we got Soy Trek, obviously. We got Dumb Idiot BS. We got the Media Dungeon. We got Prison Breakdown. We got Getting Head a Bucket Cast. We've got so many podcasts for you, so much content, so many rich hours of entertainment for you.
Yeah, how much can you listen to Brit? We'll find out.
Yeah, yeah. If you like my voice, this is a deal for you.
This
yeah,
is
this is your streaming service. If you think I'm a charming, funny motherfucker,
all Brit, all the time.
Oh yeah, that's. I mean, that's pretty much. I mean, I produce another podcast that I'm on rarely. I'm on for like 5 minutes per episode, but
still, you're
I am
you're,
the funniest you're, part you're, of that you're, podcast you're, easily though.
Your
so.
Essence is there.
Yeah.
We feel you. You're kind of like the you know how they always say New York is a character.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. I'm pretty much New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the name of a place like New York City, but it's a country, I guess.
Yeah, supposedly.
Yeah. People have called me a fruit before, a big fruit, like the Big Apple.
Oh.
So
would you look at that?
There you go. And I'm open 24 hours. That's all I got.
Do with that information. With
also too expensive. Far too expensive.
Very expensive.
Far too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, at our Patreon, we've, you know, for $5 a month, we say thank you. You're a producer of our show. To people just like Electric Baphomet, Joe DeVideo, John Simcox, Elizabeth Hearn, Nick Savard, Nova, Shane Sawyer, Skeptic, Abigail Simpson, Asher Pliskin, Benjamin Van Galen, Big Strong Boy, D. Riker, Gabe Siciliano, Gillian McCrary, Iggy, James Hartman, Jose Martinez, Kyle Simmons, Laura Flame, Papa Poison, Robert Yolito, Roberto Molina, Seb, 7 of 9, SFC Punk, Shane Williams, Tim Wilkinson, Awful Star Trek Drawings, Jordan Hale, David Craning Sights, Dylan Lance, Ethan Adams, Gursky, Jormore, Sam Mayo, and our very good friends over at the Bruce Campbell Podcast. And now, on their podcast network, also Hate Speech, which I think I'm going to be on in several weeks to discuss one Will Wheaton.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Look forward to that, perhaps.
So I'm guessing by the name, like, you're just going to be hating on old Wesley there.
I will be explaining why I believe he is a very unserious and culturally unimportant person.
Oh. Well, a little harsh.
Spicy takes?
Yeah, I've got some takes on him. He takes up too much cultural space for what he's actually done in the world.
Mm.
And he has some bad takes, too. He has some pretty bad takes. So, that'll be fun.
All right. Well, Will Wheaton, Britt's coming for you.
I'm coming for you. I'm coming from my prostate for you.
Oh, shit.
Big cum, baby. Get ready. Get ready for all that jizz and that riz. Will Wheaton.
Man, it's not all that jazz, all that jizz.
Yeah. And all that jizz. Totally. Jizz hands. Yeah. Give me them jizz hands.
I see your jizz hands, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so today we are here to talk about an episode of DS9. Episode is Duet from Season 1, Episode 19. This one first aired on June 13th, 1993. This is over 30 years old, fellas. Consider that. That's pretty wild.
That is crazy.
It's the 18th episode produced and released in DS9 and the 276th episode of Star Trek overall. This one was written by Peter Allen Fields, who wrote three episodes of TNG, including The Inner Light, which is a phenomenal episode, and 10 of DS9, including Dax, For the Uniform, and he wrote the story for In the Pale Moonlight. Mm. So, pretty legendary, I think. And then this episode was directed by James L. Conway, who directed 18 episodes of TNG, DS9, Voyager, and Enterprise altogether, including The Way of the Warrior, Death Wish, Broken Bow, and Frame of Mind. So, he's got some pretty decent episodes here and there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, we want to jump into this one? All right, head first or feet first?
Do a breech birth. Feet first.
Okay, let's do it. Yeah, feet first, just like, your porn collection.
Yes.
Yes. So we open on Kira and Dax on the bridge doing some tests when they're hailed by an incoming Cobarian freighter requesting to dock. Kira lets them. And the captain says they have a passenger with Kala Nora disease, and he needs special treatment in their infirmary. Sisko has him beamed to the medbay. Bashir is paged, and he says he's not familiar with the disease, despite being a smarty pants. Kira asks to see the patient, as the disease has its genesis in a Bajoran labor camp, and she thinks the affected might be a comrade. So Sisko lets her. Over in medbay, Kira arrives, and the patient is not a comrade, but a Cardassian. Uh-oh. Kira calls Odo and says she needs a security team. Credits at 3 minutes in. Pretty good, I think, cold open here. This is, gives a lot of intrigue, like, whoa, what now? What's going on? Because, you know, this is very early in DS9, and we know Cardassians are essentially, like, you know, Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the Bajorans were, you know, essentially, like, either, you know, like, Jews in the Holocaust or Palestinians in the current Holocaust that we're calling a war.
Mm-hmm.
The media's calling a war. So, I don't know. A lot of intrigue here.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of this.
This is a very early, like, Kira episode, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, when, because it is, I think, well, it is, like, though, the, I think, second to the, one the preceding the finale of the first season. Pretty sure.
No, this is like episode like 13. Oh, 19. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's like 22 episodes.
Okay, yeah. So it's pretty late, but you know, we get to know Kira, but yeah, this is like, you know, get more of her, you know, background as a freedom fighter, kind of like fleshed out a little bit more, and just, you know.
Yeah. And there's I feel like season one definitely focuses the most on Kira, Sisko, to some degree Odo, and a little bit Dax. There's at least the episode Dax in season one. It makes a big point of, you know, doing... It's probably the most Bajoran-heavy season, I think, because especially after you get into the Dominion War, like, of course, Bajor plays a big part, but you see kind of less and less of, you know, things like Vedix and, like, less Kai Winn, I think, a little bit, because you get more central villains like, you know, the Jem'Hadar, Weyoun, your female changeling, and stuff like that. Whereas, like, for the first several seasons, like, Kai Winn, I think, is kind of a central villain.
Yeah.
Her and, obviously, Dukat.
Naturally.
When, you know.
That's why they hook up. They get it on freaky style.
Don't remind me. Dukat just has sex. That dude fucks, and I don't want him to fuck. I don't want him to fuck, but
he fucks a lot. Yeah,
he does. I mean, he plows his way through. Like,
he fathers several half Bajoran children.
Oh yeah, he'd be siren.
Yeah, he'd be siren.
He's sired many a child.
That would have been funny if he did have a child with Kai Winn too.
Oh, that would be. That would be something else.
Hey, this is like, I guess this is a tip for the writers of any new Trek series.
Yeah, like a 60-year-old woman have a kid.
Hey, we don't know how, you know, Bajorans can stay fertile. Until,
I mean, you know twist. What? Yeah, straight up in Picard season 3, we had like, I don't know, a woman who was...
Yeah, we had a Dusty baby.
Yeah, I mean, she was probably like in her 50s yeah, there when she had a kid, right?
Yeah.
Like in universe. Yeah. Like,
it's possible. I mean, they basically live to like 100.
Yeah, the thing is that I feel like the time we get like menopause and stuff wouldn't change that drastically, though. But yeah. Apparently,
well,
it's like.
Well, do Bajorans have menopause?
That's a great.
Asking the hard hitting question.
Exactly.
That's a good question. Yeah, when do Bajoran. That's a tip to the writers.
Yeah, that's a tip to the writers.
If you want a fucking episode, something to write about there.
Yeah, yeah.
When do Bajoran women have?
I mean, as you said, this is 30 years ago, so we can have an adult Kai Winn Dukat baby be a central villain.
You're not wrong.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some food for thought.
Some food for thought.
Something.
Yeah, the writers are just jumping out of the windows right now. I'm just like. Yeah.
When we come back from the wonderful credits, Kira tells Odo that the Cardassian is a criminal and needs to be reprimanded. Bashir comes over and inquires about his patient, the Cardassian, and Kira says he can be treated from his cell. The Cardassian says Kira wants to hurt him because he's a Cardassian, but Kira claims he's a war criminal. And we get a great music cue. Lots of great music cues in this episode.
Yes.
Lots of silence to allow like room for like a lot of monologuing and dialoguing. But at the same time, it's you know, got some great music cues here. So, in security, Sisko asks if the man whose name is Amin Maritza, which is not the most Cardassian name, I don't think. No.
It sounds Italian.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds a little sassy.
Yeah, it sounds a little sassy.
I'm in Maritza.
I'm Maritza.
I'm making a pizza pie. It's the best pizza on Cardassia.
As we were thinking, watching this, I'm like, man, I wish they kept like Kardashians having facial hair, because like, you know, when we see, because like when Dukat, I don't think that was Dukat in that one TNG episode, but it was Mark Alimo playing like a Cardassian, and he had like that little weird goatee.
Yeah.
And
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and like, I was just like, you know what, Cardassians look pretty good with facial hair. It's like we should have kept that, and we could have had Maritza have like a big Italian mustache.
Yeah. We all know Dukat would have totally had a soul patch, right?
Oh yeah.
Dukat's such a soul patch guy.
For sure.
Yeah.
He'd be like stroke his soul patch. Yes, Sisko. Yes.
Yeah, it's just kind of always like greasy.
So Odo says that Amin Maritza is not in any war criminal manifest that he's seen, and he's seen them all. That's just like what he reads. That's his that's his toilet reading. Kira says, regardless, if it's legal, he needs to be reprimanded for contracting Kalanora disease, which could have only been contracted at the Galatep labor camp at the time of the mining accident when it happened there. And so this was, it's made clear that this is not just like a labor camp. It's like a concentration camp, basically. And they're like just, you know, murking people for no good reason other than, you know, ethnic cleansing, which is not a good reason to do anything. Mm-hmm. Please don't. Don't ethnic cleanse people. It's bad. So Kira says it was a concentration camp, and every Cardassian there is a war criminal de facto. Sisko goes to speak with Amon alone. So how do we feel about that? Do we feel like the people in the offices at, like, you know, Dashu, do we feel like those guys were complicit in evil? Or are they equally as complicit as the people who, like, put the Zyklon B in the gas chambers?
I do.
Yeah. It's a difficult moral question because it's, you know, like, it shows that, like, complicity is violence in a way, you know?
Yeah, it was like rewatching this after, you know, we all just watched Zone of Interest, and it was has very similar themes. It's kind of just like, especially when, you know, Maritza is, you know, the reveal and, you know, takes pride in the efficiency and the business, like, you know, efficiency of the camp and, you know,
the structure,
and just kind of like sees it as like the, sees it by the numbers, you know, and the efficiency of the numbers rather than the human or Bajoran cost of the camp, he's playing a part.
Oh, he is.
Yeah,
he certainly is. So in the brig, Sisko introduces himself to Amon. He says, he asks how he contracted Kalanora syndrome, and the Cardassian says he has something else that's similar, and he's never even been to the labor camp. Suddenly, a drunk Bajoran prisoner yells he doesn't want to be in jail with a dirty Cardassian. Which, you know, he's having his own, like, Mel Gibson moment, I think.
Yeah. Or he had some Ambien.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's having a Roseanne. Exactly. Yeah, doing a Roseanne.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, all right, look, I just made those comments after I took a couple Ambien trying to sleep here in the cell. This is actually my apartment. Like, I'm not actually locked up or anything.
So with Bashir, Sisko asks about the Cardassian's condition. And he has Kalanora. Definitely. It's not something like it. It's definitely it. And he was likely at the labor camp. Kira calls, and there's an incoming transmission from Bajor, and it's a minister of state. He congratulates Sisko on holding the Cardassian, and says if Amon was at the labor camp, the Bajorans will have him and bring him to justice. Which, you know, cool. They have every right, right? Yeah. So, and you know, This goes into also, like, the different, you know, I'm a prison abolitionist. I've talked a lot about it on this podcast. I don't think we should be putting people in prisons of any type, really, for much any reason. Mm-hmm. However, war criminals, we do need to do something with war criminals. Like, they're
violence has a time and a place.
Yeah. There are crimes so great they are, like, unforgivable. And, like, these people oftentimes are just, like, paper pushers and stuff, but they're, like, complicit in this as well. Mm-hmm. And it makes you kind of wonder, like, how complicit are we even in our government's actions and what they're doing right now? Because, I mean, we still pay taxes, like, and we enjoy the benefits of all of the bad shit that they've ever done. So, it is a lot to unpack. Am I bringing this down, fellas?
No, it's real.
Yeah. Oh, like, this episode is asking lots of questions of yourself.
It does. It does.
It's holding up a mirror to the viewer.
Right. Or I think it should. Like, you should be asking yourself about these questions if you're watching something like this. I think they're important questions to ask. Yeah. And they're a fucking bummer.
Yeah, I think this episode's also, like, a little probably too real for today. It probably wouldn't, like, you always think, like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of Star Trek that would never be made today. And
oh, they would never make this episode today. No, they can't address anything that directly.
No.
And they also can't it's strange because, like, television today both cannot have the same nuance that it used to have, and it also can't have the same, like, very substantive textual, you know, meaning. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know.
Really sanitized.
It is totally mm-hmm. sanitized. But, I mean, at the same time, I feel like there was one episode of Strange New Worlds. It could be interpreted kind of like a very dark DS9 episode. The one what's his name? The Doctor in Strange New Worlds.
Mbenga.
Mbenga, sorry, yeah. You know, he kills the guy. And
I almost called him Jamis because, like, Jamis because, like, of Dune.
Yeah, I wanted to call him Babs because that's
his
actor's name.
That's his name, but yeah.
What the fuck is, yeah, yeah, Mbenga. He does the, you know, he kills a guy who might have done some war crimes.
Yeah.
Who probably did some war crimes.
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of parallels between that episode.
That episode, I think, is, like, one of the coolest episodes of Strange New World so far because it made me feel like one of these DS9 episodes. Mm-hmm. Because it was, like, dark, there was no good answers. We can interpret, like, what the protagonist of the episode did is either an extreme moral failing, or maybe a right thing, or maybe just defending himself. I don't mm-hmm. know. It's very unclear, and we're just left to wonder, which I think is fine. I think that's fine. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Also, this episode's a lot like, I just realized, it's a lot like that one TOS episode where the butcher is hiding amongst the Shakespearean troupe.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was just like, but, like, that was kind of different. Right? I was just like, oh, is he acting a part or?
So, Sisko talks to Kira and says he wants Odo to lead the investigation because Kira's obviously kind of partial here.
Yeah. To catch a fascist, we have to get a fascist.
Kira wants to do the investigation, but Sisko asked her to wait. She asked to lead the investigation for the Bajorans who died, trying to guilt him into it. Sisko agrees and puts her in charge of the investigation because he just folded, like, a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. She's convincing.
She is. I mean, not a visitor... could probably convince me to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Especially now, you ever watch her on Instagram? Like, she just hangs out with her bird.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's precious.
She seems like a bird lady.
Yeah, she mixes drinks and then, like, just talks with her bird. And
my God, amazing.
Yeah, it's great. I'm like, oh, I want to hang out with you.
Yeah,
she
seems cool.
Yeah.
She's just like me for real.
She's just like me for real. You can bring over your bird.
Exactly.
Just be like, bird time.
The drunk Bajoran is leaving the brig and asks to know when they hang the Cardassian. And he says, well, he's already well hung. I checked.
Yeah, I did the cavity search. Believe me.
So Kira goes in to investigate the Cardassian. And he calls it a persecution. He says he was not at Galatep and does not have the disease, but she calls him on it. She says he does, and she asks him what he did there, and he says he was just a filing clerk. So he's already kind of he's playing his hand and not playing it well here. He says he was a good filing clerk too. He's really into his filing. He's coy about the whole thing though, and Kira says she never heard of a clerk becoming an instructor before because she found in his files he was an instructor. So Ammon says he knew nothing of the murders and the tortures at the camp. He says the Cardassians let the Bajorans see what looked like war crimes to keep them afraid, which is like some real, like, Holocaust revisionist shit.
Oh, yeah.
He tells Kira that she's just bent on vengeance. Next, Sisko is talking with Dukat, and Dukat is incredulous about the supposed Ammon Maritza being held. Sisko says they can't let him go until they verify his identity. Dukat says he hopes the Bajorans will not lead the Federation and Cardassia into conflict and hold Sisko responsible for whatever happens. And he's just... I mean... He always puts in such a good performance, but I fucking hate Ducat so much. Like he's such
what
like
a
yeah, I know. Oh god, I just fucking hate him. Like every moment he's on screen, like, but that just goes to show like what a good job he's doing at acting. He's a great heel. Mm-hmm. So, Kira and Dax are on the upper promenade looking out the window. Kira just wants justice, or so she says, even if this guy is just a file clerk. She wants him to be guilty. And Dax tells her that vengeance isn't enough. Which, I mean, I feel like Dax would know. Dax has probably gotten some crazy vengeance before.
Yeah,
for sure.
In that many, you know, in so many lifetimes, like...
Dax is definitely the therapist friend in that scene. Like, mm-hmm. Hard.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, yeah, Dex is a good, like, kind of counselor figure, because we don't really have a counselor at all on DS9.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Dax tends to, like, be, like, a good, great place for people to go to advice, especially, like, Sisko, Bashir, and O'Brien, because...
Over 300 years of experience.
Yeah,
exactly. She stopped counting at 300 years.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Also, it's like, I like how, like, yeah, Kira and Dax are really good friends, and, mm-hmm. yeah, there's, like, you know, very early episode, and we get to see their, you know, soon we get to see them just like playing princesses together. You know?
Girl power, baby.
Friends,
yeah.
Mates.
Yeah, roommates. Yeah.
Yeah, roommates. Sure.
Whatever the future equivalent of a U-Haul is. Yeah. Just, like, yeah, they call that up for the station. Yeah. Oh, they're moving in together.
How do they even get a Subaru on the station?
Yeah, they get a Subaru in here.
What? People don't drive cars?
A Husky, okay.
So next, O'Brien is teaching a Bajoran engineer something. Odo and Sisko come in, and Odo confirms Maritza was a file clerk, and there's only a single picture of him at the camp. They do some crazy picture magnifying and stuff. And
yeah, computer enhance. Oops.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's okay. It's even if you trigger it, people like that.
Yeah,
apparently,
yeah.
That's a funny comic
movie. Oh yeah.
So they do some computer picture magnification, and whoever they're holding is not Maritza. According to the captain, it's Gul Darheel, who led the labor camp. So he's, you know.
Yeah, and the Maritza they see is like some like nerdy, like thin guy.
He's yeah,
like,
yeah. He looks like a file clerk.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah,
right,
he looks like
right.
a filing clerk.
This guy, I don't know how to describe him exactly, but he looks more like he's in the military than he's a file clerk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He looks like ex-military or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, so Kira confronts who she thinks is Darheel now, but isn't. And he's calm and collected about the whole thing. She says he'll stand for war crimes, and Darheel says there was no war since the Bajorans surrendered. Darheel offers to explain everything to Kira and says his initial lie was to give her more satisfaction finding out who he really was. He calls himself a magnificent leader of a labor camp, which is not a job I think you want. Kira calls him insane, and Darheel says he did what had to be done. He admits his atrocities. He says him being killed could never undo his accomplishments, and Kira leaves him. So he's just, like, doubling down now on just, like, being a war criminal, which is...
Taunting her.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's straight up taunting her. It's pretty fucked.
Yeah.
I don't love it. Don't love it.
I did kind of think, like, this does feel like kind of like... Hannibal Lecter and
a little,
Clarice
a little.
Yeah.
A little Lecter, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
He's kind of like messing with her, like, hello, Clarice.
Yeah. And I got to say, the guy in this episode, I didn't write down his name, but the guy who plays Darheel, or the Cardassian.
Harris something.
Harris something.
Yeah.
Something's a crazy last name to have.
Yeah, it was very weird, but I did think his last name did sound very... very sci-fi-ish.
He puts in an incredible performance here. He has two monologues mm-hmm. specifically that are just like next fucking level.
Oh yeah.
Like very like almost like yeah, like the Shakespearean type of, you know, awesome monologuing we get on Star Trek quite
high
a bit.
Impact.
Yeah. Like I would love to have seen him maybe with like going back and forth with either Andy Robinson or Avery Brooks, just because both those guys are like very classically kind of trained, and I think that would have been pretty fun. So
his name was he's still alive. Wow, damn, he's born 1937. Harris Yulin.
Harris Yulin.
Mm-hmm.
cool.
Did you say he was the judge in Ghostbusters yes. 2.
Oh, interesting.
So I think the judge that's haunted by the two brothers that are electrocuted, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. So, in security, Odo brings Kira some booze, because why not? Kira wonders how many other Cardi war criminals there are out there. She says Darheel is proud of his destruction. She says that she hates him. She says she used to plot his assassination late into the night. Which, you know, just girl things. Hot. Just girl things.
A vision board. Just like,
Pinterest.
Pinterest board.
So, Odo says that something isn't right. So first, Odo asks how Darheel knew that Kira was in the Shakaar resistance, and she has no idea. So Kira goes to have another chat with Darheel. Back with Darheel, Kira asks how he knew that she was with the Shakaar resistance. He extols the great filing system at camp, which, again, with the filing!
So proud.
Well, that's what I love about the Cardassians, is they're very lawful evil. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just like... They're basically just like Nazis with a clipboard. Mm-hmm. Like they just like they like everything to be like very efficient. Yeah, just they're basically every single like middle manager type.
If pretty they much. Can
yeah.
Like every like assistant manager at a grocery store.
Yeah.
Is a Cardassian.
Is a Cardassian.
Yeah. So, Darheel says that he didn't remember Kira's name at all until he heard it again for the first time. Again for the first time. That doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Until he heard it again. So he has a question for Kira, though. So she sits to hear it. Back with Odo, he talks to Quark. And this is just the very small sliver of Quark we get in the episode, which is sad. But it's a, mm-hmm. it's fun. Quark wonders if... the survivors of Galatep like to gamble, which is a really weird thing to wonder.
On brand.
Yeah.
On brand, yeah.
But, like, I don't know.
These people wear, basically are just, like, completely covered, like, wearing rags.
Right, right. These, like, these people who, like, yeah, lived their lives in, like, a forced labor camp, and he's like, I wonder if they like to gamble.
Yeah. Oh, these look like people with money.
An opportunist.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, come on, man. There's a time and place. Yeah. So Odo approaches Bashir and says an information request was made on Kira a couple months ago by none other than Amin Maritza, the lowly file clerk. Dax calls Odo and says Dukat, he's on the phone. He's just calling, wondering what she's doing. Dukat says that he misses Odo, but he can't give him access to the Goldar Heel files. Because Goldar Heel, motherfucking dead. He been dead. He got.
He done got.
He says that they're holding some innocent Cardassian citizen, but Odo says that they admitted that their name is Darheel. Dukat says that he's lying, and this is a plot to embarrass the Cardassian Empire. Odo asks to see the files to prove it one way or the other, and Dukat reluctantly agrees finally. So Kira continues to talk to the Cardassian, and he admonishes her for killing Cardassian citizens in her quest to cause terror. He says the war was needed to help Cardassia. Kira says nothing justifies genocide, and he says what she calls genocide, he calls a day's work, which is pretty fucking chilling.
That dialogue is like just... It's so high impact.
It is. It is. Scene. Yeah. Yeah. This whole scene is one of the two scenes I was talking about. That's just like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very zone of interest coded that line. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, that is just a day's work for.
Yeah, absolutely. So Odo approaches her and says the Cardassian wanted to be caught. With Sisko, Odo and Kira, Sisko says that Goldar Heel is in fact died some years back, and it's on file in multiple places. Kira says the Cardassian confessed. Odo says that when the mining accident occurred, Goldarheel was in fact gone, and he did not contract the disease at all. He says the Cardassian left everything behind. Ammon, that is, who is disguised as Darheel, and got on a ship headed for DS9. Kira says he'll still be sent back for trial, but Sisko isn't so sure about that. Bashir comes in and says that the Cardassian is also taking a supplement for extreme plastic surgery, basically. Which, cool.
I mean,
just a little facelift.
Yeah, just a little skin tightening. But it's funny just how much, like, they actually just do, like, a lot of, like, extreme plastic surgery on this show.
Yeah.
Like, we have them go, like, look like Klingons, you know. Riker, you know, when going undercover, had plastic surgery to, you know, Quark, you know, had a sex change.
He did.
And then went back.
They did. I don't know how we're supposed to gender Quark now.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's just like, you know, that's just like a day, like, just an afternoon, apparently, in the future, just like, you know.
I mean, yeah, the future is trans, brother.
Yeah, future is trans, yeah.
Love that shit. So it appears that the Cardassian is simply posing as Goldarheel. So, yeah, what's going on? Yeah, right? So Kira goes to talk with the Cardassian and asks how he contracted the disease. She catches him in his lie and says he was on Cardassia at the time of the accident. He can't answer her questions and starts going off on her and admitting war crimes, multiple war crimes, just tons of war crimes. He just did all the war crimes. Mm-hmm. He insists that he's Darheel, but Kira insists he's just a motherfucking filing clerk. Which is, I don't know, who would cosplay as Hitler?
Well, he's
like, I mean, well,
he's so overcome with guilt that he has to, like, he feels he needs to, like, he's just the filing clerk, so he's not going to get that sort of, like, the punishment, and, like, they're like, oh, you're fine, let's give him a slap on the wrist, but if he, like, looks like Hitler, you know, they're gonna,
give it to me.
Yeah, give it to me. They're
just like, you're Charlie Chaplin.
Clearly.
Yeah.
No, I'm Hitler, the mustache is Hitler.
So the Cardassian breaks down crying. He says he couldn't bear to hear the screams and see the horrors. He says he deserves to be dead for his crimes as a filing clerk. Kira removes the force field and lets him go.
This scene was awesome. Like, this dude was, like, laying it on.
This whole scene was the second scene talking about here that was just, like, next fucking level of this guy just, like, monologuing.
Yeah.
Like, capital A acting up in this. Mm-hmm. Very good shit. So Kira says that he didn't commit the crimes, nor could he even stop them. He insists that he must be punished, though. For Cardassia. His trial will force his people to admit their guilt, he says. And Kira refuses to commit another murder, which is kind of a powerful message, I think. Mm-hmm. It's great dialogue. Walking the promenade, Kira tells the Cardassian what he tried to do was honorable, but if Cardassia is going to change, it's going to need men just like him. What, like, guys who get plastic surgery to try to commit suicide by cop? Because I don't know if that's the kind of guy you actually need to change your society.
Well, I mean, he had a front row seat to the atrocities, and him speaking out about them and actually call them what they are, just be like, okay, this was a literal genocide.
Yeah, but I think we're skipping the part where he, like, goes
where
to
he got surgery.
Where he maybe he should go to the therapy first, is all I'm saying. Yeah. Like, kind of reconcile what the fuck is going on in his head.
Let's put that face back.
Yeah.
Just like,
because let's not forget, he went through extreme plastic surgery in order to commit suicide by cop,
but
to
also,
make a point.
I don't know how extreme it is. Like, you know, we were saying, like, you know, it's just they just do this in Deep Space Nine all the
casual.
Time.
Yeah,
it's casual. Yeah,
he has to take a medicine.
By
extreme,
you mean, yeah, it took a day. And then, like, he's just like.
Yeah, but he's still taking a medicine for it. I mean, it's.
But what is really funny is apparently he's been living like this guy for like at least 5 years.
Wouldn't it be great if he had to get like a BBL to be this, to look like this guy? Like, yeah, like it's like, okay, I'm Goldar Heel. Goldar Heel's caked up. You're not him.
He's like, look at my juicy rack and big ass. Do you not see? I am guard Goldar Heel.
I'm gonna create some new fetishes here.
Yeah, create some fetishes, yeah.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, only if that's what he needed to do to cosplay as Hitler. But yeah, you know what? Let him. But I think it would have been powerful. He did have a good message. Like if he actually went and like spoke out, and because like, you know, obviously like the Cardassians deal with the Bajorans saying like, you know, calling it genocide on a daily basis, and they can just like shrug their shoulders and smirk at them because it's like, you know, they don't care. But if it was someone who actually had a front row seat and is also currently dying from a disease due to like, you know, their like has evidence that he was at that, you know, at that place during that, and says like, oh yeah, this massive problem happened, you know, a lot of people got sick, we were killing people, like, you know, that would have been impactful. But
no, yeah,
fortunately, no. He got stabbed.
oh no, spoiler alert. So
that's it.
Walking the promenade.
I already covered that.
Yeah,
spoiler alert for a show from
from 30 years ago.
So suddenly the drunk Bajoran from earlier stabs the Cardassian, killing him. He says, Kira's like, wait, why'd you do it? That wasn't Goldar Heel. And he's like, well, he was a Cardassian, and that's reason enough, which is, once again, a little far guy.
Yeah, Garrick looks at
drunk.
Yeah, he's still drunk.
No.
Garrick looks at his store and be like, huh?
That's a good point. Yeah, nothing bad ever happening to Garrick over here.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like Garrick, yeah, he'd feel like under constant attack, like sons of Bajorans coming in and out of Deep Space Nine. So it's just like, damn.
So, Kira says, no, that's not enough. End of episode. That's it. That's Duet. What do we think, folks?
I love that episode.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's powerful. I think also, even just specifically for Kira's, like, character development, you know, like, there is, like, a moment of compassion at the beginning where she thinks it's a comrade, right? And then that immediately shifts when she sees it's a Cardassian. Like, rage. But then at the end shifts back to compassion, and she, like, I guess finally confronts her belief that simply being a Cardassian is not enough to warrant that sort of punishment.
Right.
So, I think that, yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah, it is. It shows a lot of change in Kira's character, especially because, you know, before this she was just like, you know, the resistance fighter who, you know, rose up into the Bajoran military, and then now she's like second in charge and basically in charge on the Bajoran side of DS9, which is a big fucking job.
Yeah, and it's like, in plus the context for her, like when she was taking lives, like that was, they, even though the Cardassians may not say it was a war. So it was like lives taken during wartime, you know, between them. And so now it's just like, you know, she has that, you know, she can express compassion and like, and extend that compassion, because she knows, like, you know, especially like compassion in that instance would do more good than harm, because like, yeah, it's just like, you know, if she did, like, if they did execute him, they'd be executing like an innocent, you know, he's still a collaborator and stuff like that, but he's not actually like the you know, the Hitler.
Right. Yeah. Right. I would like to know more about his filing system, though.
Yeah,
because it sounds
boasting.
Right.
Yeah, the legendary Maritza filing system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Maritza maneuver, which is just alphabetic filing.
It's a good episode, I guess, to also kind of address, like, black and white thinking and, like, acknowledging that there is gray area.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, that's all of DS9, though.
For
like,
sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, but this one especially so. Especially because there's so many, like, twists and turns here. This is like one of the twistier episodes of DS9, I think, which I really like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, yeah, I guess it's by the same writer as the guy who wrote the story of In the Pale Moonlight, which is also a twisty ass episode. So yeah, this guy's the twister. This guy likes to twist and shout.
Yeah, loves the monologues.
Loves the monologue. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I wonder if he ever did like any films or anything. Yeah, because that's some good ass writing up in there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Also, I realized like that guy who plays Maritza was also in one of my favorite X-Files episodes.
Okay.
Hollywood AD. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if, like, it's the episode where Gary Shandling portrays Mulder.
Oh, I don't recall that.
Yeah, like Maritza plays a priest that's trying to steal, I think, like the goblet of Jesus that here, mm-hmm. that brings the dead back to life or something.
I love that they.
It's a great. It's a great.
Wild.
I love. It's one of the funniest episodes. It's a funny episode. It's really good.
Gary Shandling, like that's such an interesting choice to play Fox Mulder, because like he's like he is a white guy with brown hair, but you couldn't like pick like, especially at the time, like a sexier man and the least sexy man.
Well, it's kind of a joke like, on Mulder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because like Scully's played by Tia Leone in the movie that they're mm-hmm. making about it. So it's like Tia Leone playing Scully and then Gary right. Shandling.
Oh, I see. It's about a movie. Okay.
It's a guy, like they're having a movie made out of their experience.
Oh, and, interesting.
Yeah, it's a really funny episode.
That's pretty cool. Well, we got anything else to say on this episode?
Come to the next Bar Trek if you're in Philly.
Come to the next Bar Trek. Yeah, if you're on the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next one should be a good one, too, as of when this episode is posted. Mm-hmm. It'll be the weekend of April 21st. It's on a Sunday. There's the Galactic Diversity and Inclusion Con that's happening in Philly that weekend from April 19th to 21st, hosted by Gaze in Space.
Gays in Space.
Yes, more accurate. Yeah. So that should be a fun one for sure. You definitely, if you're anywhere around Philly, you should check it out.
Hell's yeah.
Hell yeah.
We'll both be there.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I will be in town at that time.
And I'll be on the East Coast, so I can go down.
You should.
I will. Yeah.
Pretty cool as hell, down.
Party.
Hell's yeah. Hell yeah. I'm down. I'm going. I'll go to it.
Hell yeah.
Cool. Well, that's all I got. We good?
Yeah, I think we good.
Neat. Well, thanks
for
hanging
out. I think we done did it.
We done did it. It got done.
Yeah, watch Duet, like one of the best Deep Space Nine.
It is the best episode in the first season.
Yeah.
Yeah, straight up. Without a doubt, I think.
Ala Moraine.
You mean Move Along Home?
Move Along Home. I'm sorry.
Philistine. Thanks for hanging with the Soyagers. Be well, travel safe, and go check out Duet. It is a treat.
Mm-hmm. Check out Bar Trek Philly.
Check out Bar Trek Philly, 100%. If you live anywhere around Philly or can get to Philly, check that out. Where can people find you online to check out Bar Trek Philly and when the dates are?
The website is bartrekphilly.com, mm-hmm. and I'm on Instagram at bartrekphilly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. We'll be definitely posting that stuff, too, on our socials as mm-hmm. well. So people
Hells
can
yeah.
check that out. Neat.
All right. Well, thanks for checking with us, Soy Boys, Girls, and Ridley Beans.
And thanks for hanging with us today, Luna.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hang dong and shocker.
Soy, 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 soy,